This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
So to start the programme today, I'd like to welcome Victoria Tay, personal stylist. Before we talk about your current work, Victoria, can you tell us a bit about what's brought you to this point? What have you done beforehand?
Well, before I decided to become a personal stylist, I was an aviation analyst, and I did that for about 8 years. But I've always loved fashion. And when I had the money behind me and the means and the chance to do it, I decided to leap and start my own business as a personal stylist.
I have to say, Victoria, I think you're the first aviation analyst that I've met in person. So for the benefit of myself, maybe even Ivana, what was that?
It was actually navigational analyst. So what we did was we got aviation information in from various countries, and we had to interpret it in a way that the aircraft could read. So we'd put it into our database, and then it would get sent to the airlines, and they would turn it into something that their aeroplanes could read, basically.
Oh, what an unusual career. And I have to say, the jump from that to personal stylist, it's pretty big in my view.
Yeah, it was a bit of a change, and it took a while for me to sort of get used to the fact that I wasn't working with numbers every day and was working with clothes and people now. But yeah, it's great. I'm glad I did it. But I miss my old colleagues a lot. So if anyone from NavBlue is listening, hi, I miss you all.
So as Doreen says, a bit of a jump from doing that to this. How did the light bulb moment come? Were you watching a programme on telly and thought, I'd love to do that, it's fashion, or what happened?
It had always been something I wanted to do. And I think it was sort of about 2016, I decided that I wanted to do more with my love of clothes and my love of fashion. And I did a styling course. And it was just at weekends. And then I decided that, yeah, this is actually what I want to do for a living. So I saved and saved and saved my money. I basically had like no social life, and you know, my mum reduced my rent and everything, so thanks, mum. So I saved up enough money to do it, sort of nearly a year's salary. And then in April last year, I was like, goodbye aviation, I'm going to work in fashion.
It's very brave, okay. You know, it clearly is, because you're coming into a field, okay, you've done the training courses, but it is so far distant from aeroplanes.
Yeah.
So your foray into fashion, I mean, start us at the point when did you get your mum and say, right, okay, I'm going to style you or your friends. how did you actually start this?
It happened years ago, really. I was always into fashion when I was little. I mean, I remember watching the clothes show with my mum, you remember, in the 80s with Jeff Banks and Karen Franklin and all that. And we used to sit and watch that on a Sunday night. And I used to sort of trot around in her high heels and that kind of thing. And I've just always loved clothes and that. And I wanted to make it a career for a while, but, you know, bills come first. And I did archaeology at university, which, again, is another massive departure from fashion. But one of the modules I studied was history of fashion. So it was kind of mixing the two interests there, really. And one of my favourite places in the world is the Costume Museum in Bath. And, yeah, it's fantastic. Mm. If you haven't been, just go. It's great.
Sounds good. And I know that you mentioned on your website that the fact that your aim is to make people look good and feel good about themselves, regardless of their size or shape, because obviously we're all different.
Yeah.
And do you find that one of the issues you face is that sometimes we try and pigeonhole ourselves into the same clothes as our friends are wearing when we're all totally different? How do you overcome that then when you see them?
That's actually quite a difficult one to answer, because, like you say, people try and they do pigeonhole themselves into the same sort of, you know, standards as either their friends or people they see on like television and that. And just remember that you are you, and you'll never be anybody else. So my intent is to make people sort of the youiest you they can be, if that makes any sense. You know, just a better version of yourself. I'm not trying to change you into, like, you know, Kim Kardashian or Nicki Minaj or whoever. You are you.
Oh, that's a shame. There's a plus.
Oh, no. That's a shame, actually.
I can do it if you want me to. I mean, you know, just we can try.
You can try.
I think
it'll
take quite a while, to be honest.
Yeah, well, let's not go there.
But I think sometimes people, I mean, I'm guilty of this, a friend will pick up something and say, I think this would really suit you. And you'd look at it and go, well, no, never. And then you go and try it on, actually, and it's okay.
Yeah,
sometimes you must get it all the time.
Yeah, all the time, all the time. I had one client recently who, she had never really worn anything particularly bright, and she was of a skin tone that really suited bright colours. So I said to her, try something that's cobalt blue, or, you know, a bright red or something. And she went and she bought a cobalt blue top, and she sent me a little picture on WhatsApp of herself in the change room going, goodness me, you're right. And I'm like, yes, I am right. So, you know, I try to make people be a bit braver.
That's a lovely moment, though, to be able to empowering for people. Because
it is.
If we look at any palettes, You know, black and white are going to be there, and probably grey in the middle. So it's getting those other shades which you can bring into someone's life to brighten them up and lift the skin tones. So do you work a lot with the skin tones of people, do you?
That's kind of the starting point, really. I can't quite explain it, but I've always just sort of had an eye for what looks good on people. You know, like what colour would suit you? Like you.
So they look at me. What would suit
yes,
me?
Yes, Ivana, you are wearing your colour. That
wrong
lovely
way
blue.
Probably,
yeah, yeah. Black. If you had black trousers and that
blue top,
that would look really, really nice on you. So brighter colours up the top. You.
Taurine?
Yeah, more still blues, but maybe more muted because you're blonde.
Well, there you go, you see. Yeah. Graham, who is sharing this studio, is so stunned to know that two of the ladies from Just Women, well, were just perfect, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah. Everybody's perfect in their own little way, though. So.
And something I'm really guilty of, I'm not sure if it's just me, is that when I go shopping, I tend to pick the same things I've got in my wardrobe already.
Yes.
And I go home and I think, what have I bought that for? I've only got four of those hanging in my wardrobe. Is that a common thing?
Yeah, but the thing is, if it suits you, buy four, because you can guarantee that when you go back to the shop, if you want another one, there won't be any left. It's why this jumper I'm wearing today, I have it in three different colours, just simply because it fits me so well and it suits me so well. So
and you feel good in it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's warm too. And it's winter.
It's really difficult, though, to take that. That is actually a leap to buy the same thing in three different colours.
Yes.
Because I don't know, psychologically, you kind of feel cheated, but it's not. You know, you're buying
the
shape.
Men do it all the time, probably, don't they?
Yeah,
same jumper,
they do.
Just a different
the same
color.
Jumper. Yeah, I know, it's usually the same colour in a lot of gentlemen. Sorry, Graham, stop laughing. Not with my husband. I have to say, he has very good dress sense. I will give Tone full marks on that. But they do. I'll have three brown. Why?
Yeah, since it's different. So for a capsule wardrobe, how many items would you have in, like, your core wardrobe?
Ooh.
Would you feel?
That's a tricky one. I don't really believe in capsule wardrobes.
Okay.
You should
fair
see
enough.
My wardrobe. It's more important to have things that fit you and suit you and work for you every day, and also things that you will wear, not things... You don't buy something like a sequin bomber jacket because you think, oh, that's pretty, and then it sits in your wardrobe for 2 years and you
I'm
never wear
that
it.
As well.
Yeah, so just mindful shopping.
And how long should you keep it before... I mean... From the 70s, probably now, time to get rid?
From the 70s, probably it can go to the charity shop and let somebody else have a go with
it. It might come round again, though.
Do you know, I'm sorry, guys, I have to say here, I was going through my jewellery the other day and I had some 80s jewellery straight back in there and I thought, oh, I didn't throw it away. Don't ask me why, because I probably...
Because you knew it was coming back
no,
in.
No, I didn't. But it's still there. You know, you could wear that today as jewellery. So some people who hoard...
Yeah,
she said, it can pay off.
So they do say generally, if you haven't worn it in, is it 18 months, as you said?
Yeah. My general rule is 18 months.
Okay.
If you haven't worn it for 18 months, if you haven't even looked at it for 18 months, then out with it.
Yeah. And so thinking about the services you provide then, so tell us about some of the things, Victoria, that you would do for people.
The biggest thing I do is, it's called the wardrobe edit, and it's taking people shopping in their own wardrobes, basically. Because I don't know about anybody else, but I used to have a lot of clothes and no outfits. And I'd sort of stand in front of my cupboard going, oh, good grief, what am I going to wear today?
Do you mean, sorry, combinations of clothes that go together? Okay.
Yeah. And I think that with the wardrobe edit, what I do is that I help people find new combinations that they might not have thought of. So you've got jeans with like a top that you might not have thought of wearing with them, or a skirt with a different coloured shirt than you'd normally wear with it, that kind of thing. And you can make outfits from what you've already got, so you don't have to buy a ton of new clothes. And that's something that I've done quite a lot of with people who are on a really strict budget. You know, they can afford me to come in and do their wardrobe for half a day or something, but they can't afford any new clothes. And there was one client I had, we ended up with 6 or 7 new outfits from what she already had and 2 bin bags full of charity shop stuff by the end of the day. And she was like, oh, goodness me, this is wonderful. And it's like, yeah, you don't need to buy a whole new wardrobe.
Do you find you have some people that are literally clinging to your legs as you try and remove the clothes from the room? That would probably be me screaming down.
I take them through a series of questions before I let them get rid of anything.
Such as,
do you like it? Why do you like it? Will you ever wear it? Have you ever worn it? Does it fit you? Will you cry if I take it away?
So if I say yes to all of those, I get to keep it?
You get to keep it, yes.
Even if it's 10 years old?
Even if it's 10 years old, if it still fits you and still suits you, and you are going to wear it, this is sort of the, can't think of the word.
The acid test?
Yes, if you are definitely going to wear it, then you can keep it.
But you said if it suits you. Now that's a great question. So is that would that be you telling me that, or because obviously I might think it does, and you might look at me and go, oh, no, that's so not in at the moment. I don't know.
Well, it's not about what's in at the minute; it's about what suits you as a person.
But doesn't your body shape? Oh, yes. If we're talking about 10, 12 years ago, your body shape then, not yours necessarily, Victoria, but in a lot of your clients' case, I would hazard a guess, has changed dramatically. So whereby 10 years ago they had a neat trim waist, now maybe they're dropping the waistline because that no longer exists. Mm. So it's about body image, isn't it? More shape as you change.
It's body shape, definitely, and also dressing appropriately for your age as well, because there are some people who...
Take a breath when she said that. You mean no mini skirts for me?
Well, no, you can wear mini skirts. Well, should you so wish. But a lot of people I not the ones I've worked with, but people I know, they are in denial that they are in their 30s and 40s and they're still dressing the same way they did when they were 14 years old. And I mean, like,
14?
Yes.
I do actually draw the line.
So Doreen sitting there in her hot pants is probably not the right thing to be wearing. Is that what you're trying to tell us, Victoria? Doreen, sorry. Next week, do not come in your spangly hot pants.
But I would like to say at this point that when hot pants came in the first time round, I did actually have some fantastic ones and do still have some for my granddaughter to wear from those early days of... it was quite hideous, actually, now I think about
that. They're vintage.
Mind you, Kylie Minogue can still pull them off,
exactly,
can't she?
Exactly.
Yeah, but how many women are like Kylie Minogue? Come on, Ivana.
That is true.
So, realistically, you're looking at where we are today with our clothes, how we should be using them. I mean, if I'm looking at any woman today, I could look around the room here and most of us have got trousers on.
Yes.
That didn't happen 14 years ago. There'd have been skirts and trousers, of course. Yeah. And, of course, it's jeggings and jeans and fantastic leggings and things like that. So it's a massive change and fun changes in fashion. I suppose also that it's more of a disposable industry.
Yes, it is now. And I think with shops like Primark and Zara and New Look and that, it's a lot more disposable than it used to be. So you've got what I'd call the disposable fashion for your stuff like your t-shirts and that sort of thing. But for things that you're going to wear a lot, like jeans and coats and handbags as well, invest in them. Don't buy the cheapest one you can get. Buy the most expensive and the best one you can afford because you're going to be using it forever. I mean, I have a winter coat from 5 years ago. I still wear it because it cost me N hundreds of pounds and it still fits me and it's wonderful and it's lasted a lot longer than any of my cheaper coats.
Exactly, yeah. So. One of the programs you offer on your website is the Decode the Dress Code program.
Yes.
What's that?
It is for 16 to 24 year olds and it is basically teaching them how to navigate dress codes in the workplace because when I was at school, we weren't taught any of that.
No. And smart casual, smart.
So business formal, business casual, including casual Fridays, because there's still rules on casual Fridays. And I saw enough people throughout my corporate career get written up for dress code violations that I thought this is not on, because it tended to be the younger ones as well, you know, like coming in with like bright pink hair or, you know, inappropriate shoes that they couldn't walk in and that kind of thing. So that's why I created the program, to stop young people making those mistakes in the workplace and to sort of educate them into how companies think about dress codes, why they exist, because there's young people tend to push back a lot. They don't see the reason for a dress code. So the program explains why dress codes exist, why you have to follow them. And I use like real life examples. And there's a fantastic blog called Ask a Manager, which has got, it's based on American corporate culture, but a lot of them is very relevant to British culture as well. So I've used some examples from that about, you know, people who got fired for, you know, violating dress code and that kind of thing. And it's just an educational program, and it's for schools, colleges, career centres, or even recruiters if they want.
How do you actually get that to the young people that you want to reach?
At the moment, I haven't done much of the decode, the dress code thing, but I am trying to approach schools, you know, with sixth forms, sixth form colleges, universities maybe, and also job centres, because there are some people who are just coming into the workforce that maybe don't fit into that age bracket that I intended it for. But the thing is, it's universal, really.
Of course it is. And would it be fair to say the only real way to know what a company's dress code is to observe the people in that company? As how would you really know for sure? Because, for example, my daughter's on a placement at the moment, and there it's smart casual.
Yeah.
Now, she could have gone in a suit for the first week and probably would have felt out of place because no one else is in a suit. But until she's observed what that code is, how can you make a decision on knowing what it is?
Ask in your interview. The interview is for them to decide if they want to employ you and you to decide if you want to work for them. So ask the question about the dress code. There's no point in going into somewhere completely unprepared, really. So find out about it before you start working there, is my advice to everybody. And it's something that I had drilled into me by my mum, because she did a lot of corporate work throughout her career. And she's just like, when you start working in offices, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. So she was full of good advice for me.
So what would your definition of smart casual be?
Smart casual, I would say not jeans, definitely not jeans. Smart black trousers, for ladies, a nice smart, either blouse or smart top, sort of a fairly demure top. For guys, you can wear a shirt and no tie if it's smart casual. Shoes, no trainers, so smart flats or heels, brogues for the guys, loafers for the guys, so that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh. It's a lot softer than it used to be because
it's a bit more formal. When I was talking
about dress down Fridays formal. Didn't exist, you know.
Yeah.
We still have to walk to the station in high heels and walk back in high heels. Yeah. Now you see women wearing trainers and changing, which is so much. I mean, how we did it day long in high heels, I don't know. I really don't.
Well, I used to have at least five pairs, all different colours, which match the outfits. And when I think of that, Graham, contain yourself. It is ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
That, you know, what we used to do. Yeah.
Things
have changed a lot.
Things really have changed a lot.
And I think there's a lot of American influence in that, because in America they've been going to work the office in trainers for a long time.
Yeah.
And suddenly it started to come over here, and it's commonplace now, isn't it? So can you break down for some of the services that you do provide, Victoria?
I do the wardrobe edit, which is the shopping in your own wardrobe.
And how long does that take? Is that a morning or afternoon? Or?
I charge on an hourly rate, so it's as long as you want me for, basically. If you have a very small wardrobe, it might only take a couple of hours. If you have a huge walk-in closet, that's easily a day. So it's up to the client how long they want it to take.
Because some of the prices are really reasonable, actually. Can you go through what some of the prices are?
The wardrobe edit is £30 an hour. My personal styling and personal shopping is also £30 an hour. And then I do a complete styling package, which is £550, which is a full day's wardrobe edit, a full day's shopping. And with every service, you get sort of what I call an aftercare service, where I add you on WhatsApp. And then if you need any advice while you're out shopping, just ping me a WhatsApp and I'll get back to you and say, yes, this works, no, this doesn't work, that kind of thing. So I believe in looking after my clients, because I think a lot of stylists, certainly ones that I know, don't do that. They like take someone shopping and then that's it, you know.
That's a very good philosophy, actually, because sometimes if you're presented with this fantastic new wardrobe, it could be quite daunting. So to have you behind and just giving that kind of cushion to move forward, I think is actually quite a good idea, Rana.
Do you remember the programme with Trini and Susanna? Do you find sometimes that you can do the edit of the wardrobe and you can take them shopping and do all that, but then when you see them a few months later, they slip back into their old habits? Or?
Yes.
That does sometimes happen.
It does happen sometimes, but I just sort of gently steer them in the back to where they were, because it's never a huge slip. Because what I find is when I've helped people, they tend to, they seem to have a new lease of life. They've got more confidence in themselves and they want to continue to look good. So it's not ever that much of a slip. So I don't ever have to sort of go, no, you did the wrong thing. Back to your cupboard with you.
With them. There's a great quote from a film that Jennifer Aniston was in called Pitch Perfect, where she says, dress for the job you want, not the job you have. And I think that's a really clever quote, isn't it? Because it's saying, actually, if you want to be changing jobs, you've got to be visualising yourself in that outfit. So you're going to need to be wearing that now.
Yes, unless you want to be Batman, but then you don't dress as Batman.
No.
Again, Graham, contain yourself. It is interesting because, obviously some years ago I did have my styling done, and I did find it very useful, and I do tend to use the colours occasionally.
Yeah.
But what I found really interesting was that I assumed there was one white. And of course there isn't. No. There just seemed to be, if there was more colours in anything, it was white. And I thought, well, I don't quite understand that. But when it was explained how draining one colour could be, and on me, yellow and orange, no goes. And I would have said that anyway. But it is interesting how different skin tones yeah. and just react. That must be quite exciting for you when you first meet your client then.
Yeah, it is actually, because what I tend to get people to do is like send a recent photo in. So I can get some idea of what they look like and what I'm working with. But you never really know what someone's like unless you meet them. Mm. And because there are some people who even their personality changes sort of what would look good on them. You know, like there are some people who would not wear like super jazzy prints because that's not them really. But maybe like a block colour would work for them. So, yeah, it all depends on your personality as well as your body shape and your skin tone and that.
And skin tones can change over the years, can't they?
Yeah.
Well. That's another trap that I fall into, because that's why I've tried to keep my hair as light as possible, because as I get older, if my hair's darker, it makes me look older. So that's another thing I always have to take
I think so. Account. I think, say, 30 years ago, women used to dye their hair a really horrendous brown, because that was probably only the colour that you could dye grey hair away with. But now you've got a fabulous palette and you can make those decisions yourself as to what colour you'd like your hair to be. And working with you, obviously, Victoria, is the way forward to get the best out of your look. Now, it's been really interesting hearing how you can come from being in aviation to fashion. And we are...
So just the final few questions then, Victoria. Thinking about the future, where would you like to take the business going forward?
What I'd really like to do is develop my own fashion label or accessories label. That's the ultimate goal. But that's quite a long way off because I've only been going for a year or so. But that's what I really like to do. Or I'd like to do more sort of celebrity styling kind of thing. Because I did a red carpet look for a local voiceover artist. And it was such fun picking out the outfit and the accessories and everything. So I'd really like to do more of that. And you never know. And maybe one day I might get something in the pages of one of my favourite fashion magazines. You never know.
That's fantastic. So if there's anyone out there that wants to declutter, what would you say to them, Victoria?
Get in touch. I can help you. But you have to really want to do it. That's the thing. If you don't...
Not kicking and screaming.
No, not. Okay. It has to be a voluntary process. But yes, if you do want to declutter your wardrobe or you want a little help, you know, maybe sort of getting more self-confidence with what you wear, or you want a sort of a bit of an image overhaul, then I can help you.
Brilliant. And your website? Details?
Website is www.victoriatay.com. There is a contact form on there. Please fill that in and hit send and it will come to me and I will get back to you.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Victoria. So that was Victoria Tay, personal stylist from victoriatay.com.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk. Or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.